I'm Susan Riordan. Title of the paper, Collateral Damage, Emotional and Financial Rape. You may not be able to see this well. It's Captain Terry Riordan, my husband. Terry died the 29th of April, 1999. The official cause of death is Gulf War Syndrome. The same as the military in Canada diagnosed him with in 1995. Terry went to the Persian Gulf conflict 32 hours notice, notified Christmas Day, gone Boxing Day. He came back a walking dead man. I never saw my husband again. My children never saw their father. And more sadly, perhaps, Terry never found himself when he returned in 91. He returned ill and entered hospital within days. His work was as a security officer, an intelligence officer, and counterintelligence officer. It is documented that his local assets and coalition forces in intel and counterintel were the main ground for Canada's progress in the conflict. I have internal intelligence documents from 1990, 91, and 92 that anyone is welcome to have a look at. These Terry wrote, these Terry took when he left the military ill. It's very abnormal for Terry. He was physically fit. He was exempt from doing his yearly medical in 1990 because it was excellent performance. When he came back the end of February 1991, he could not run 1 kilometer without collapsing. Cosmic, top secret clearance. He set up safe homes, one in Abu Dhabi, one I believe was in Al-Qut in Iraq, through Basra. Hide in plain sight. He used plain clothes, unmarked vehicles, hundreds of thousands of U.S. dollars, and his own assets. And our country denies him. When Terry returned, the illness that he reported, and this is a man that had never been ill in his life, his illness was chest pain, dizziness, ingestion, abdominal cramps, constipation, blood in stool, back pain, frequent urination, weakness, nervousness, weight gain, memory deficit, numbness, tingling in the extremities, heat intolerance, headaches, rashes, depression, testicle pain. And that's just the beginning. As Terry left the military and we went through the pension process, and I literally fell on my ass several times and got back up because I had power of attorney. Terry couldn't handle finances. Terry couldn't handle a walk around the block without getting lost. So I took it on. I was very fortunate with the American veterans and the British veterans. Through them, I located Dr. Asif Durakovich. Asif did a 24-hour urine sample on Terry, and he was positive for depleted uranium. Monday before Terry died, he got the call that evening, or I got it. Tuesday morning, he was coherent. In 1999, he was only cognitive for 1 to 3 hours, possibly in 1 week. He was in depends, 50 prescription medications, morphine. He would rock back and forth on the floor with his legs crossed, holding his head and cry and want to die. He wanted out of his skin. He didn't want to be in a wheelchair. He didn't want the depends. But at that time, it was 1 to 3 hours. The other times, he did not know. The other thing you have to understand is the mood swings and the rages. We deal with those. Our children deal with them. We come down with what is politely termed caregiver's illness. Maybe it has something to do with the heavy metal toxicity in the veteran's semen, which is a clinical diagnosis of burning semen syndrome. That's one area we still have to investigate. Our children are diagnosed with chronic PTSD in their preteen years. They're hearing these horrific night terrors. Mom's taking maggots out of dad's head. It's not a problem. There's no real maggots. It's just that dad thinks there is. So you work with this. And you take 1 hour at a time. You can't take a day at a time. And then maybe you take 15 minutes. And then they die. And you wait for your children to see if they're going to become schizophrenic. That's the danger of such a diagnosis of chronic PTSD in preteens. There's a lot of collateral damage. Tuesday, as I said, Terry wanted Dr. Durakovich to take his body. Wednesday, my parents babysat Terry. Our husband sat him because he could not be left alone. I purchased a home that was wheelchair adaptable and put a construction team to work. Thursday morning, Terry died between 5:30 and 6 in the morning. I had just put him to bed an hour before. At 9 o'clock, I opened his door and said, "You have an hour. Then you have to take your meds." I made coffee, called his doctor, and agreed to an increase in morphine, which meant bringing a nurse in because I cannot give injections. I went back in to get Terry up. He was laying in his medical bed in his own room. The cat was with him. The blankets were fine. And he was dead. And death has a feel to it. You can feel death. You don't expect to, but you feel it. Lividity had set in. His lip was blue, and the gases were escaping. I moved the body. I tampered with the crime scene. My home was a crime scene. You're not supposed to move a body. I knew enough that lividity would show the position of the body when the RCMP investigated. I also knew enough when I called 911 to inform them, probably very impolitely, CPR was not a factor here. Dead is dead. I informed everyone that entered the home, from the RCMP to the coroner, to the emergency medical teams, to the funeral home team. He was positive for depleted uranium. They double-gloved. They did not remove Terry from the house with a white sheet over the gurney. They put him in orange garbage bags with duct tape. That's how he left. He went to the hospital. They contacted Dr. Asif Durakovich. Asif very quickly moved, had someone come in, pick up all the organs. Terry died under National Secrets Act. I am not bound by that act, morally or legally. Had DND known of his death, they had full right to guard his body and have no one touch it. So, cause of death being Gulf War syndrome, flat statement. It's not accepted, but that's what it is. In February the 7th, 2000, it was released to the media by Dr. Durakovich, my member of parliament, and myself, and CBC. Terry's real cause of death was a total shutdown of his body due to depleted uranium. And upon further investigation through Dr. Durakovich and UMRC, I asked the question, had Terry and I died in a vehicle accident? And we were listed as organ donors. Is there any problem? Asif felt it was rather self-evident. As a scientist, as a layperson, it wasn't. He was horrified that thought any organ would be transplanted from a veteran. takes 3 weeks to see if it's a viable organ not tampered with DU. Well, then it's no use in transplant. So we have further contamination, and we are spreading this throughout the general population. Terry tried very hard to serve his country for 23 years, and he did. And he campaigned to go. He didn't campaign to die in the manner he did and to watch an emotional and financial rape that continues to this very day. This is the first time I have ever spoken to anyone without my military friend watching or taping. It's rather unnerving. I mean, I've gotten used to them. You don't want to live my life, but if you're married to a veteran, you have no choice. You don't want to watch your children to see if they're going to have PTSD or what's going to happen to them, but you have no choice. We are collateral damage. We are acceptable damage. And I don't want to be acceptable damage. I don't accept anything about it. Terry's body was a gift to the international veterans community. And I had the pleasure of telling you that in August, Terry's brain, lung, liver, kidneys, and other body parts have gone for their second and final round of research through Dr. Durakovich. In fact, when I had his brain and opened the container, I'm still wearing the little medication they have in stored in it on my arm. His urn containing his ashes, which was never buried due to Terry's request, can now be utilized by science. There will be nothing back. There will be no memorial. There will be no funeral. But Terry has another gift to give. And I hope it leads to a stabilization of our veterans. And I hope that you will bear witness to the collateral damage and stop the emotional and financial rape, not only of our veterans, but their partners, their children, widows, widowers, and your own family that may end up in an organ donation system.